I would invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. We're going to be looking at the subject, Are Prophets and the Gift of Prophecy for Today? Today in the church, wrong definitions of prophecy abound. The Word of God reads in Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 19, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Doesn't take a profound view and look at the current situation in the church today. Many religious groups are claiming to have prophets. Many cults have arisen. I think of individuals like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Paul Crouch, John Avanzini, Robert Chilton, Fred Price, Benny Hinn. These individuals that claim to have the gift of prophecy. Individuals that are adding to the Word of God. What is to be our response to these who are self-proclaimed prophets, to those who claim to be part of a third wave movement, adding to the Word of God? Even closer to the ranks of what we call rank and file new evangelicalism are those who would say that while the prophetic office is not for today, the prophetic gift is. For instance, Dr. Billy Graham wrote in his book, The Holy Spirit, The gift of prophecy is the ability to understand and to engage in the exposition of God's Word. So therefore, we have prophets today as proclaimers of the Bible, and this is why you have many people that are claiming to be prophets today in many a church. Even John MacArthur, in his book The Charismatics, which has a lot of excellent material in it, in my humble opinion, has a very fatal flaw in that he says the gift of prophecy was actually the ability to proclaim God's Word. The gift of prophecy, then, is the ability to speak before people to proclaim God's Word, sometimes with a predictive element. And while he argues that there are no prophets, there is the gift of prophecy. Let me say that the word origin, what we call the etymology of the word prophet, in the Hebrew language, the word prophet means nabi. It means to bubble forth. The Greek uses the word prophetes, which means to speak forth. It was used in the classical Greek language through secular sources to describe delivering a message from the gods, and it emphasized the predictive nature of prophecy. Now let's go to the Word of God and look at God's definition of prophecy. And let's not allow ourselves to be swayed by Bible study notes, but rather, or a study Bible notes, but rather what the Word of God teaches. Now, in your Bibles, let's turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 4, and verse 15. Exodus, chapter 4, and verse 15. We all remember the calling of Moses. We remember his objections, the unbelief of the people, and his inability to speak eloquently. Don't we sometimes feel that way? I always say whenever the preacher comes up to you and asks you to to do something, to perhaps just pause for a moment and ask yourself, is the Lord perhaps working through him to expand me? Now, that doesn't mean you have to say no to everything. As a matter of fact, I'm one of those that counsels you not to say yes to everything. Be very, very careful. Don't overextend yourself. But oftentimes, when we are called to do something, the Word of God says, faithful is the one who has called you, who also will do it. Well, Moses had these objections. And notice, in verse 15, the Lord encourages Moses and letting him know that Aaron will be his mouthpiece. And in verse 15, it says, thou shalt speak unto him, that's Aaron, Moses, put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. You being plural, Moses and Aaron. Now, verse 16. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. In other words, Aaron was a spokesman for Moses, just like Moses was to be a prophet to God. And Moses wrote, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the five books of the law. And we see that Moses communicated direct revelation. The gift of prophecy was the communication of God's inspired word. Now, turn, if you will, to 2 Peter chapter 1. This is a tremendous passage of Scripture that describes the inspiration of Scripture. And it's a good one to know, because it certainly describes the inspired Word of God that we have through the prophets given unto us. 2 Peter chapter 1, notice verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, a prophet was moved by the Holy Spirit to give us the Word of God. That was a supernatural moving. I often enjoy taking individuals to the book of Acts chapter 27 and verse 15, where that word moved is used in an illustrative way to describe a ship in the storm. If you look at Acts chapter 27 and notice verse 15, the concept of being moved by the Holy Spirit was used to describe a ship that was driven by the wind and was allowed to drive. That word drive there is the same word that is used translated moved by the Holy Spirit. We let her drive. And then verse 17, so we're driven. This storm drove the ship, and it was under the control of the winds. That is what is used to describe the prophet who communicated the Word of God today. Now, many charismatic groups, unfortunately, and indeed many cults, and many even mainline, such as even Roman Catholicism, believes in progressive revelation, that it is still possible for God to communicate new truth on par with the Word of God. And this is why you have individuals such as Benny Hinn, who all of a sudden comes up with a new word of prophecy and knowledge, and he says that there are nine members of the Godhead. God is a Trinity, the Son is a Trinity, and the Holy Spirit is a Trinity. And these prophetic utterances that are clearly unbiblical, how we need to be careful about that. Turn to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 22. In this passage describing the coming of our Messiah, in Matthew chapter 1, just to illustrate how the prophet is used in the scriptures, Matthew 1, verse 21. The Word of God gives us the statement regarding prophecy, and it says, "She shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." And of course that prophet was Isaiah. You know, one of the interesting tests to determine who a prophet really is the test of a prophet. Did you know that the Lord gives a test of a prophet? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And I want you to notice verses 21 and 22. There's a test that we can apply to those who claim to be prophets today. Notice verse 21. Deuteronomy 18, verse 21. "If thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken?" If there comes a prophet, in other words, to speak, and notice, verse 20 says, "The prophet that thou presume, that shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." Now look at Deuteronomy 18, 21. "If thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." The mark of a prophet was 100% accuracy, even when the office of the prophet was still in existence. I think of the Millerites, who were the originators of the Seventh-day Adventist movement, when they stated that Christ's coming would be in 1843. And then 1843 came, and nothing happened. So they changed the date. Miller changed the date to 1844. Nothing happened. I think of the Jehovah Witnesses with Charles Taze Russell, who said that Christ's coming was to be in 1914. Nothing happened. Then 1918, nothing happened. Then in 1925, and then they said, well, the Lord's coming was a spiritual coming when he entered into his heavenly sanctuary. You see, these prophets, most recently, you remember in 1988, Wisenut's prophecies, 88 reasons why Jesus Christ is coming in 1988. Well, he was neither wise, but he was a nut. That's for sure. And we have today individuals that are speaking presumptuously. So we're going to answer two questions this evening. What is prophecy? And then secondly, what is a prophet? What is prophecy? In spite of the modern desire to make prophecy someone who preaches, the prophet and prophecy is simply inspired speech, uttering forth things that can only be known by divine revelation. "Thus saith the Lord." When an individual would speak, formulating this book, direct revelation, he was a prophet. "Thus saith the Lord." You know, as much as I love teaching the Bible, the best Bible teacher in the world cannot claim 100% accuracy. Matter of fact, Amelia, Melody's mom, shared with me that she has some of my early tapes years back when I began preaching, and I'm looking forward to hearing those tapes. But I guarantee you, some of the things that I may hear, I might be a little surprised at. I don't know. I'll have to let you know about that. But you know, all of us, and indeed we recognize the fact that none of us can claim infallibility. Be very careful of any pastor today that claims to be infallible of his own abilities as a teacher. We are all learning. Now, if that brings you discomfort, Pastor John is claiming fallibility. I guarantee you, you can't get two Bible teachers, two Bible church preachers, two Baptist preachers in the same room that are going to agree in every single area. And this may surprise you, but when I get to heaven, I fully expect that my theology might be altered in one place or another. Does that surprise you? We all see through a glass darkly. We know that. That is true. But you know, the Word of God tells us that the result of prophecy, and indeed it is the result of prophecy, is to exhort, to edify, and to comfort. And doesn't God's Word do that? Oh, when I was able to read some Scripture and pray with individuals that are going through trials and testings such are happening today with the Cassidy family, the Word of God and the prophetic gifts are still being used today. We don't have prophets today, but we have the product of God's Word revealed to us through prophets, and we are benefiting from the prophets today. But we do not add to the Word of God or come up with new revelation. God has given us a thus saith the Lord. So today, prophecy is inspired speech through the Word of God. We do not have prophecy being given today. What is a prophet? Well, following in the tradition of Aaron and Moses, a prophet is a mouthpiece through whom God spoke and gave us His perfect, infallible Word. Beware! In many circles today, you'll see tent revivals. You'll see billboards. God's mighty prophet speaking today. Beware! Satan would cause us to think that our Bibles are not complete, that we need some more inspired revelation today, such as Ellen G. White and her writings, Mary Baker Glover Patterson Eddy and her writings, Science and Health and Key to the Scriptures. Others would stand up and say, oh, we have the Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith. Be careful. This is an attack upon the sufficiency of the Scriptures. One of my former professors, Dr. John Whitcomb, wrote an excellent little book, Does God Want Christians to Perform Miracles Today? And he makes a statement regarding individuals that fall into this prophetic, modern prophetic view. He writes as follows, no, the church doesn't need new revelation from heaven today. We already have a completed Bible and the Holy Spirit of God to interpret and apply it. What the church needs is a new confrontation of the whole counsel of God, proclaiming in the power of the Holy Spirit with authority and love by men who know their God and who honor His only written revelation. Then and only then may we expect our deepest needs to be supplied and God's purpose for His church to be accomplished today. God's Word gives us additional indication that we do not have prophets or prophecy today. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. We had studied 1 and 2 Peter on a Wednesday night series, and in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, Peter, of course, was warning concerning the end time apostasy. But isn't it interesting that Peter presents an interesting play on words when he describes circumstances in his day with circumstances that will be in our day? In verse 1, he says, there were false prophets also among the people. But then he says, even as there shall be false prophets, is that what it says? No. he changes the term to teachers. In other words, he says there were false prophets, pointing back to the time when prophecy was existing as a gift. But then looking forward down into the church age, when prophecy would have ceased, he says, even as there shall be false teachers. You see, it's the teachers, the false teachers, that are being seen today. And we're contending with them, aren't we, today? There shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, in the passage of Scripture that we looked at the beginning of our message, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20, I want you to notice the Word of God tells us in verse 19 that we are members of the household of God. The word household of God, Ephesians 2:19, is the same as the body of Christ that is being spoken of. It's the same as the habitation of God, verse 22, the completed bride of Christ. But notice in verse 20, it says that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. How many here have ever built a home? Let me see your hands. What I mean by that is that you've had it built. You moved into a new home. Okay. Now, what is the first thing that gets laid down for a good, solid home? You prepare the foundation. Now, how would you like it if after having laid the foundation, you begin putting the walls up, and then all of a sudden, instead of putting the trusses up, you see them putting another foundation in? No, there's one foundation. The Bible tells us the apostles and the prophets belonged to the foundational stage of the church, when the church was beginning, before they had the completed Word of God. The apostles and the prophets. Now, we don't have apostles today. I can prove that by taking you to the Revelation chapter 21 that speaks about the 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem. And they are the apostles. We don't have apostles today. But we have people running around claiming to be apostles, even the Mormon church. And I've been confronted by people. I always say that cultists pop out of the bushes whenever I go anywhere. For some reason, they seem to find me. And I've been stopped in parking lots by Apostle Paul's and one Apostle John in Hollywood, Florida, seeking money for the establishment of his church and claim to be an apostle, but yet they don't have the sign gifts of an apostle. And there was an Eckerd's right next door to the supermarket, and I suggested that we might go next door and see if we can find a poisonous mixture that he might be able to drink so that he could demonstrate his office of apostleship, because Mark 16 says they'll be able to drink any deadly thing. But that was, he didn't take me up on that offer. All he wanted was money. But you see, we don't have apostles today. Why? They belong to the foundational stage of the church. And in its infancy, God started the church through the apostles on the day of Pentecost, and as they went on in their establishment and preaching of local churches, then the prophets we know of the Old Testament, as well as those writers of Scripture, conveyed through special revelation the written Word of God. And the last inspired book of the Bible was the book of Revelation, written approximately 95 A.D., and it was written through the penman of the Apostle John. And the Word of God tells us that after that, there's a big period, putting at the end of the book of Revelation, whosoever shall add or take away, God will give unto him the plagues that are written in this book. and those who would add to the Word of God, certainly there is a grave judgment to them. And we have to be careful of that. We're in the superstructure. Notice the superstructure is mentioned in verse 21 of Ephesians 2. You have the foundation, the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. But notice, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth up into a holy temple in the Lord. We are in the superstructure stage. We still benefit from the apostles, don't we? We still benefit from the writings of the prophets, but there is no gift of prophecy and there is no prophetic office today. Now, I will say this, though, that it's interesting when you look at the beginning of every dispensation in the plan of God. Did you know, for instance, what's the next dispensation that is coming after the church age? You have the dispensation of the kingdom. Now, at the beginning of the church age, you had prophetic utterance. As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, chapter 2, Paul mentions that there were prophets that spoke. We'll notice that in a few moments. Now, the prophetic gift of prophecy is going to be reactivated just prior to the establishment of the kingdom at the end of the tribulation period. I want you to notice two witnesses in Revelation 11. Turn there, if you will. People try to identify them. Their power is like unto Moses and Elijah. We know that Elijah must first come, Malachi 4. I personally feel that it is going to be Elijah. But notice what it says in verse 3. During the tribulation period, after the rapture, the Lord sends for the first 42 months, the first 3.5 years, I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. At the end of the rapture, God is going to reactivate the gift of prophecy, but it's going to be kingdom-centered. And it's going to be pronouncements, inspired pronouncements here, not adding to the Word of God, but God speaking directly through these two witnesses, communicating the truth of the kingdom. Now look at Joel 2:28. A lot of charismatics like to quote this, but if you look at the book of Joel, we have another passage that talks about the establishment of the kingdom. Joel 2:28. Notice, speaking of the coming kingdom at the end of the tribulation period, it says in verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward, in other words, after that time of tribulation, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. The Lord is getting ready to establish another dispensation, just like he started a dispensation at Pentecost, named the church. And there was a sign manifestation of speaking in tongues and prophetic utterance. Likewise, at the mark of this new dispensation called the kingdom, God will once again speak through prophets. And it so is in verse 28, it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And notice it says, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants, upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Now, some charismatics will say, well, yes, but That was said to have been fulfilled on the day of Pentecost by Peter. And what they'll do is that they'll take us, don't lose your place in Joel 2 now, but turn to Acts chapter 2. And the reasoning goes something like this. Peter, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, says in verse 15, these are not drunken, as you suppose, after the gift of tongues was being given, seeing it is but the third hour of the day, Acts 2:16, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor and smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. Notice, before the great and notable day of the Lord shall come. You see, all of these statements did not take place on the day of Pentecost. All of the signs in heaven, the sun being turned to darkness, that is yet to come. All that Peter was saying is that we have the mark of a new dispensation. And just as God supernaturally will work in the establishment of his kingdom, he is doing so supernaturally, working now, starting the dispensation of the church. And we know the Bible says, before the day of the Lord shall come. The day of the Lord was not the day of Pentecost. The day of the Lord is actually yet future, beginning with the time after the rapture, when the Lord begins setting up his kingdom. So all Peter was saying was that what is happening at Pentecost is similar to what is going to be seen. And it shows to us that every time God starts a new dispensation at the very beginning, he gets people's attention by these prophetic utterances. But with the completion of the canon of Scripture, with the establishment and the commencement of the church, there was no need for continued revelation today. And we're in that parenthetic period called the church age. Now, we do not have prophets today in the church age, but let's remember, we do benefit from their writings. Beware of those who will add to the word of God. Oh, how we need to be careful. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the word of God that lives and abides forever. Don't believe those who say that prophecy is the foretelling of truth. I am not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. I'm a pastor and teacher. The Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, notice what the Word of God says in Ephesians 4 and verse 11. The Word of God says, he gave some apostles and some prophets. They were, of course, for the foundational stage of the church. He gave some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Did you know that you are prepared for the work of the ministry through what the prophets have given? Sure, because we're benefiting from what they gave. That doesn't mean that prophets are around today. We are benefiting from the office of apostleship. That doesn't mean we have apostles today, but the results of their work certainly are benefiting us. We have evangelists, we have pastors and teachers, literally pastor teachers here, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and notice, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And be careful, look at verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up. I have those two words circled. Children, verse 14, and then I have grow up, verse 15. God wants us to be mature, to grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. And one of the reasons why I'm preaching this message today is because I see that many unstable souls are being beguiled by many, many self-proclaimed prophets that are neither prophets nor are they teaching the truth of God's Word. We have the Word of God completed right before us here. And our desire is not to look for some new revelation. We have the completed Word of God. And by the way, what are we doing with what God has given to us? Are we faithfully proclaiming God's Word? Be careful about a lot of these spiritual gift clinics that are going around in the church today that are claiming that prophecy is for today as a gift. Be very, very careful. I've known many a braggadocious preacher who claimed to have the office of the prophet. And, I'm not going to tell you what spirit it was, but I guarantee it was small s. And that is not the case today. And I've heard many a choleric deacon say, well, the reason I'm choleric is that I just have the gift of prophecy. And I just tell it the way it is. I just see that as lack of wisdom. Be very cautious about claiming to have gifts that are for the foundational stage of the church and excuse away a bad temperament in light of that. May we be faithful in the proclaiming of God's Word. Let's bow our heads together. Father, thank You for Your Word and guide us and Lord, challenge us to be discerning in these last days concerning, Lord, the tendency, Lord, to add to the Scriptures. We thank You for Central Florida Bible Church, and we ask that You would keep us centered upon Jesus Christ, centered upon the Word of God that lives and abides forever. Keep us, Father, from the falsehoods of our day, and may we hold high the banner of the bloodstained cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that You would drive us to the Word of God. May we fall in love with this book. May we read it individually. May we, Lord, read it collectively as families, and may we build our homes upon its dictates, that we might be grounded as a church and as families and as individuals in the Word of God that lives and abides forever. And we'll be careful to give You the praise for what You'll do. In Jesus' name, amen.